Welcome this morning. Happy Palm Sunday. I went to school with a girl from the time, when I say went to school with a girl, I mean this, I went to school with her from the time I was in kindergarten all the way through till the time I was in a master's program at Long Beach State. We lived in the same neighborhoods. If you were to take, you know, one of those compasses or whatever you called those things you had in school, protractors or compass, right, whatever, they spun around. We lived where literally elementary school, kindergarten, junior high school, senior high school, all the way to university at Long Beach State. We went to all the same schools all the way through master's programs. Gospel truth, never spoke to her. Didn't speak to her in elementary school. And I knew her the whole time, Margaret. Didn't speak to her in junior high school. She got pretty. I sure didn't talk to her then. Senior high school, she was left alone. She was one of those stately beauties on campus. And not everyone went real close. And then in college, well, I would just see her on caps, and I think, yeah, I went to school with her. And I would point to her. And then in our master's degree, well, she was married, I was married, and the way I met her was Debbie. I mean, Debbie, she would say, who's that? And she kind of, because whenever she would go by, she would, I mean, we knew each other our whole lives. She would look at me, she'd smile like that. You know, I'd go, you know, I do kind of one of these, kind of like this. And Debbie said, well, who's that? So that's Margaret. I said, well, why don't we talk? We went back, and I remember having a conversation, turning the nicest woman on the planet. And us going all the way back down to kindergarten, remembering all the way, but never having a conversation until we were literally in a master's program. We had been in the same schools all the way for, we're talking, over 20 years and never having a friendship, never having a conversation. That's just the kind of person I am. I want you to know, you want to know about me? I'm not an outgoing, celebratory guy. I married a woman who is. I married a woman who is to make up for what is wrong with me. And what fixed it in that was that when I needed to get to know some people around me, Debbie would help pull me out of that shell where I would just kind of be fixated on where I was going and what I was doing and say, well, Eric, why do you just nod? Why don't you just come on, let's go meet her. And like, ah! And, you know, suddenly have to do something. Palm Sunday is God pulling all of us out of that shell that we're so locked into our lives of just one routine after the other, into that, ah, where suddenly it's time for our arms to be lifted up, for us to celebrate, for us to cry out, Hosanna, because we've gone to church with each other. Some of you have gone to church with each other for years and don't know each other's names. And suddenly today we're going to have a dinner after second service, and there are first service people and church service with the same people as second service people. And say, I didn't even know these people went to church with me. And you're looking it around, you're thinking, who are all these folks? And you're going to sit down. And it's not unlike me growing up, going to school with one person all this time in the same places, but just never taking the time. And there's no better day for us to break out of that than Palm Sunday. We started this entire series on life-changing decisions talking about, I will follow. And then we talked about, you know, I will serve. And we talked about the washing of the feet. Last week, we talked about, I will love. And how important it is for us to make that decision to love. And this morning, I want to talk about, I will celebrate. Because so many of us have become so funky and so old, and some of us even so Christian-easy, church-easy, that we've forgotten how to celebrate. And we think that celebration is just not part of our lives anymore. Celebration shouldn't be a part of who we are. For me, I'm old now. You know, I'm 61 years old. At 61 years old, that girl that I went to school with all these years, we've reconnected across Facebook. We've said more on Facebook now in the last few months than we did in over 20 years of living near each other and of going to school with each other, of all that time. And last night, she went to the Bruce Springsteen concert at the sports arena, and she said, this witch was 3 hours and 45 minutes on stage, Bruce Springsteen, he was awesome. And this is what I thought. I don't think I could have sat for 3 hours and 45 minutes. And I love Bruce Springsteen. I love the Boss Man. I don't know how he gets up here because I think he's older than me. I'm not sure. But I'm thinking how he gets up there and does it on stage. And I think it's a three, he's doing this for three nights in a row. And now he, I would love to have had tickets, but literally I'm thinking, I don't know how I would have managed 3 hours and 45 minutes. And now I'm trying to imagine this kid that I knew from kindergarten all the way through our master's program, who I never said speak a word, jumping around in her 60s and shouting to the boss on stage and on Facebook, just putting 3 hours and 45 minutes. Awesome. And I think how many of us have gotten to a spot in our lives where it's Easter next Sunday, the resurrection. It's the celebration of everything that we express to live out in our faith. We're not celebrating. Me, I'm wearing my shirt out today. That's my celebration. I mean, there's my great big celebration at 61. I didn't tuck my shirt in. Wow. You know, and that's what happened to some of us. I mean, we just for us to express ourselves, I mean, it's kind of like these little celebrations that nobody else even notices. And life is about an expression of the very best of who we are in everything we say and do. The text is in the heart of your card inside your program this morning. Says the next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. I love it. Remember, it's the Passover. Everyone who lived near enough to Jerusalem that could get to Jerusalem for the Passover was expected to go to Jerusalem and to be there. Now remember, this was not a society where everyone was wealthy. Over 90% of the people lived in slavery. I mean, that meant they were owned by someone else. Everybody in the community lived under the rule of the Roman Empire. That meant they were a conquered people, a people that from an empire over 1,000 miles away had come out and had conquered their people, had overtaken their city, overtaken their country, ruling them completely. They were a conquered people. Imagine if a country from over 1,000 miles away that spoke a different language came in and they forced their language on us. They put in their police officers who wore their great big centurions uniforms, and anything they said to us, we had to do. That's where you're starting to get the image of Jerusalem. These people were slaves. All of them were conquered. They were all not feeling a lot of reasons to celebrate. And then on top of that, they were Jewish. And when the Passover came, in their poverty, they were expected to make it down to Jerusalem. It was not always a celebration for the Passover. It was, do we have to do this again? You know how much this is taking away from our crops where we need to be planting right now? You know what this is taking from everything else? This is work to do this again. It's like some of you feel about Christmas now. Another Christmas? You've got to be kidding me. It's like some of you, as we come towards Easter, maybe you're already thinking about Easter. Oh, man, another Easter. As we prepare and do everything together, so the next day the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city, and excitement. Remember, he's the one, he had just raised Lazarus from the dead. He's the one who had opened the eyes of the blind. He's the one who had reached down and took the hand of the one who couldn't walk and then lifted him up. He's the one who, rumor has it, one of his disciples was drowning and he lifted up and walked on the water. He's that one. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches, and they went down the road to meet him. And they shouted, praise God. Those two words, you should circle them right there, praise God. It's one word, possibly in your Bible, in the King James Bible, I know for sure. I don't know about the New International Translation. This is the New Living Translation. What word is that one word? Hosanna. 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 Praise God. Hosanna. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey. He rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt. This was a moment of tremendous celebration. This was a moment where they raised their arms, they raised their voices, and they said, Hosanna! Hosanna! Praise God! Blessings is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, they had already had a ruling empire come in the name of Caesar, who claimed to be God. They were living underneath his thumb on a daily basis, and the minute they tore down a palm branch, a minute they went down and they said, praise God, they were saying, not praise you. They were saying, we're not praising the empire of this world. We are not praising what you want us to do. We are praising the one and only God. We are lifting up His name in this moment in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who has come into our midst. Praise God. Hosanna. And Jesus humbly takes the colt of a little donkey and rides into their midst and enters in to Jerusalem. They're wanting a king who is going to rule, who is going to lift them out of their poverty. And Jesus is wanting to come in service, in love, to invite them to follow Him. And He knows it begins with a celebration. You may remember what the Pharisees said to Jesus. He said, "Teacher," he said, "tell all of your followers to quit saying these things." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. If I were to silence them now, even the very rocks would cry out." What He was saying was, this is creation's moment. This is the time that celebration cannot be held back. And my family, my kids, used to love to make fun of me. It's one of the reasons I don't watch sports anymore, because when I watch sports, I would get really excited. Any of you excitable when you watch sports on TV? I watch sports on TV, and I would get excited, and there was one particular college game. A guy got the ball. He was running, and I stood up, and I started yelling, "Accelerate! Accelerate!" And it didn't matter what sport was coming on after that. Something would happen. There would be a slam dunk. There'd be anything. And John or Julie would say, "Accelerate! Accelerate!" And they would just start making. And so pretty soon, whatever Debbie had brought out in me and celebrating was kind of knocked back down. You know, don't celebrate. Because pretty soon, because I just wanted to stand up and shout. Man, get going. Run hard. And some of us, we just want to stand up and shout. And we feel like there's been a world that has just knocked us down and kept us within us, and we don't let it out. So it says there are five positive life opportunities that celebration presents. More than five? Oh yeah, way more than five. Are there a lot of negative life opportunities that celebration also will bring you? Oh yeah, anyone in here ever over-celebrate? No one, I'm the only one. Anyone in here ever been in jail because you celebrated? I mean, anyone ever have someone not just been in jail because you celebrated, but it was a week or two that it take of apologizing over the celebration you did, that you called celebration? You see, the celebration that goes on in the world, that's what we immediately fall into, and that's what we imagine celebration's supposed to be all about. Well, if you're celebrating, that's what you're doing. And if you're celebrating, this is what we need on our checklist to celebrate. And if we're celebrating, we better be careful, because we might end up in jail. And that's not the kind of celebration Jesus is talking about in this moment. There are really incredibly positive aspects of celebration. First of all, worship as a spontaneous response to Jesus. Worship as a spontaneous response to Jesus. As a large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet Him. Now, it's kind of like you imagine that they looked around and said, "Well, we don't want to disturb anyone's yard, so let's make sure that we just get palm branches that have already fallen onto the ground so that we don't rip any out of trees or anything like that." Or do you think maybe they climbed up into trees, they cut them down, they took whatever they could, they ripped them down because they were in the midst of expressing. And all the Romans think, "What are these vandals up to? You know how long I've been working on keeping that palm tree just exactly right?" And they're ripping down all the palm branches. They're laying them down so that His foot doesn't even have to touch a stone, so that He can come in on this beautiful blanket. It's the expression of their love. It's the worship that they have. It's one of the things we're going to get to do today. This morning, we have a beautiful dinner, and I hope every single one of you are staying for lunch right after church. Every single one of you are invited. There's more than enough for all of you to come. You could call and bring family. There'll be more than enough. And afterwards, we're going to go ahead and we're going to take this beautiful silver marker. Now, I've discovered yesterday, I looked for one of these this week. Have any of you ever bought one of these before? Why, are you a tagger? Is that the deal? I discovered this is what taggers use. I didn't know that, you know. They keep these at Staples inside little plastic boxes like they're drugs or something like that. And you have to be willing to prove that you're over the age of 18. They didn't ask me for ID. I don't know why. And I wanted to get that, but we're going to take that pin. And already, the people who weren't able to stay for for second service have been over there, and the cross is all laid out over in the fellowship hall where we're going to be eating, and people have been coming. The cross is all black, and the cross isn't all black. It's upside down. And so what's happening is the inside of the cross is showing right now, and people are already signing their names. Some families are signing their names and putting a life Bible verse underneath their name, right where they wanted to go inside of that cross. It's an expression of our love, of our celebration for a cross that's going to go up on the building outside that we're going to celebrate for generations to come. And we'll be able to look and know that deep within that, just like Jesus Christ wrote his name across that cross for us, we're going to be able to say, this is a gift of who we are to those who are yet to come. You see, in a very real way, the way we worship God, the way we lift up Jesus and say, there's not everything we can do, but what we can do is we can make sure that these facilities, that this tool is a wonderful place ready for every single generation to come and worship so that the Holy Spirit can use it in his moment and in his time. It's for us to say, Hosanna, it's what we think when we write down and we put that there, it's our palm branch inside the cross. Second positive life opportunity, celebration presents as adoration with one voice, belonging. It's adoration with one voice, knowing that we belong. Praise God. Hosanna. Let's say it out loud together. Hosanna. 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 Praise God. It's how we each one have the opportunity just to say, praise God. It's adoration. It's how we adore God. Now, it's an old word, adoration. It's not a word we use commonly. But it's a word that when it comes to God, when it comes to our salvation in Christ Jesus, adoration. It's how we are lifted up. An old memory came to me. I'm constantly getting Pastor Ken in trouble by coming up with ideas that he's supposed to implement. You know, that somehow he's supposed to figure out how to have this whole thing happen. But as we were working on the cross this week and everything, it occurred to me. I remembered when we were a kid, there was a great work of art put inside of our sanctuary. It was put on the front wall, that's in a front wall just as tall as our front wall. It was beautiful mosaic with beautiful art all in the middle of the whole thing. And they had had a scaffolding across it for weeks and weeks and weeks as they had been in the artisans coming working on the whole thing. But then on the day that they revealed it, on that Sunday morning, they took it all the way across the very top. There was a huge tarp or paper. I don't remember what it was. And there was Lewis Whitson standing beside it with a cord, and he had it. And when it came time, we prayed, and we prayed a thing. And then there was a great release, and it was pulled, and that thing fell. And for the first time, exposed to the entire church community, was that I remember it like we should. And I realized that that's what we need to do at the cross this week out front. And I came in, and I told Ken, okay, I know we're going putting the cross up this week, but most people who are going to be here for Easter won't see it during the week. And so once it's up and once it's mounted and once all the electricals in the back of it so the lights will be on it, all that kind of stuff, we need to cover the front of the sanctuary so that when we have a dedication after Easter services, after second service next week, we'll be able to pray, dedicate it. And then how many of you think that's a good idea? Don't you think that's an awesome idea? Now, here's the reason. Think about it. Some of you are already, unfortunately, like me, pragmatic, and you're thinking that's going to be so much work. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. But then consider for a second, 50 years ago is when that happened in the church that I grew up on. And 50 years later, I still remember that moment. And I think about us bringing all the children out in front. I want my grandchildren to be there. Bringing everyone there and in that moment praying over it, dedicating, and then dropping, and little children's minds getting the concept, not to explain adoration, but to experience adoration. The cross revealed before us. Some things are just worth it. In first service, I said, you know, so that Ken doesn't have to do this, is there anyone who's willing to take care of this so that Ken doesn't have to worry about it? Claire Bartow sitting right there, she raises her hand. I'll take care. I say, Claire, you realize that it's 40 feet. I'll do it. Praise God, Todd Green, who knows about scaffolding roofing, maybe he said, I'll help, you know, and I'll do it. And I thought to myself, you know, Todd, before he's leaving, said, I'll touch base with Pastor Ken about getting tarps or something to stretch out, make sure that we have it covered for next week. I thought about just the gift of adoration when suddenly we've worshiped and now we have the opportunity to adore him. It's that which we plan. Hosanna. Love what C.S. Lewis wrote. He said, humans are amphibians. You know what an amphibian is, right? That's something that can live on both land and water. Humans are amphibians, half spirit and half animal. As spirits, they belong to the eternal world. But as animals, they inhabit time. You see, this physical body of ours, this is just an animal. This is the animal portion of us. It belongs to this world of animals. And you think, why are they acting like animals? These people just, well, you know, because we are animals. But this spirit that resides within us, you know when you get goosebumps? You know when you've been in prayer and the Holy Spirit touches you and you're somehow strangely moved? You know, that's the other half of you. That's the Spirit moving within you. That's that part of you, because we are of two worlds. And this world, it's not our home. We have the opportunity to fully lay claim to the kingdom that is yet to come. Third positive life opportunity celebration presents is focus, as chaos of the gathering finds purpose. Is focus. As chaos of the gathering finds purpose. It says, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, how often did these people want to cry out blessings? Not too often. They lived under a political government. How many of you are sick and tired of the elections already? Yeah, you know, already. And I mean, some of us are political animals. We like following this stuff, and we're still sick and tired of it. Still sick and tired of even this year, sick and tired of it already. Imagine if, for not decades, but for centuries, generations, you had already been under the thumb of a foreign occupier. It was nothing. Chaos sounded wonderful. There was no chaos, and they had the opportunity to cry out blessings on the one who comes as a liberator in the name of the Lord. So, see, this was suddenly their focus, their healing, their way out. Their avenue apart from this dark world. Don't you need that sometimes in your life? Don't you need that route that's going to take you away from that which has done nothing but drag you down? Jesus is our focus in this moment. He is our Savior. He is our salvation. Here's a perfect way to understand this. One that each one of us can. A year ago, how many people were running for president? More than we know, right? Lots. Lots were running for president a year ago. Today, how many were running for president? A whole lot less, right? A whole lot less. Maybe 5 or 6 or something like that. Something like that. So it's a whole lot less. And come September, how many will be running for president? Just 2. And come January, how many will be president? Just 1. I mean, unless the whole thing comes apart, and who knows what's happening this year, but unless the whole thing comes apart, come January, there'll just be 1, that's all. You see, that's what had happened. In their world, there had been so much confusion. There had been one political leader after the other. They had been crushed down, and now Jesus came, and he was the one. The one that 2,000 years later remains as our focus in the midst of the chaos. Why should we celebrate Palm Sunday? Because it is the day that he entered in to that moment, the last days of his life. Yeah, sure, these people were the same exact ones who, when offered up Barabbas or Jesus, they were going to cry out, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. They were a fickle lot of people. But which one in here of you isn't somewhat fickle in your faith? Which one of you in here hasn't, because of one thing or the other, found one reason or the other to find fault? It's just the way we are as human beings. The cross was delivered. It was great. A guy came with a big flatbed truck. He had the cross all on the back of it. I said, do you need some help with it? He said, I think I can get it. And he had it up over his shoulder like this, right out there, 12 feet long. Carrying. I said, I think I can get the back, but I really wanted to help carry it in. He said, I think I've got it. And he's got this big cross. And then he laid it down right here in the middle between the pews. It doesn't quite fit. The cross beam doesn't quite fit there. And he laid it down. And I said, boy, so do you deliver a lot of crosses? And he says, well, this is the first one in this job. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what his last job was the whole time. I mean, I'm tempted to go back and ask him because he said, this is the first one in this job. And so I have no idea what his last job was. So Ken and I came and we spent the next day or two just looking at the cross, going over everything. I want you to know, you get really close to the cross after it was built. Each thing we found was, you know, well, it really should have been this way, kind of this way. It really should have been, and we're kind of... And then suddenly I looked at Ken, and I said, well, you know, Jesus was a crossmaker. He was a carpenter, and we overlooked that completely. And I'm guessing there wasn't once that he thought, oh, well, the crossbeam really needs to be a little bit better here. We really need to sand it. It was just a brutal instrument of destruction. That's what the cross was. And for us to look at it and say, oh, well, I think it really needs to be a little bit prettier here, a little bit different there. But you see, we've turned the cross into that golden piece of jewelry that's just a memento. Instead of thinking about it like, let's remember what we're seeing in the cross. And let's let go of that which we look so closely at and focus on Jesus. It says, when you focus on problems, you get more problems. When you focus on possibilities, you have more opportunities. True or false? So true. You keep on focusing in the problems in your life, I want you to know all you're going to do is multiply the problems in your life. And it's so easy. It's just kind of who we are in life to look at our problems and keep on focusing on our problems. But when you start to focus on the possibilities, boy, opportunities just start to open up in wonderful ways. Fourth positive life opportunity celebration presents is release. Release to give ourselves fearlessly in joy. Release to give ourselves fearlessly in joy. Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. They had every single reason to be afraid. They had every single reason to think that only destruction could come. Go back and read the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, Jerusalem had been knocked down to nothingness. Nehemiah's big moment of success, maybe you remember it. They were working on what part of Jerusalem when they rebuilt Jerusalem? Do you remember? The wall. They were working on the wall. Did they get the wall all the way done, or where did they celebrate their success? Halfway done. Halfway done is where they celebrated their success. They felt great about the fact, not that they got all of Jerusalem rebuilt, not that the temple was perfect, not that any of, but that the wall was just halfway built. Just halfway done. Friends, I don't know if your life is going to be all put together perfect. I don't know if everything's going to come together exactly right, but when you release to give yourselves fearlessly to joy, and you say, God, whatever you have in this moment for me, I want to give myself to that. Tom and Susan Wood are here this morning, the family. Susan, I'm so sorry about the loss of your mother. Tom called me on Tuesday evening and said Susan's mom was passing away and she would like it if I could come out and pray with her. So I drove into Westminster where she was in the little hospital and so went up and I prayed with Betty. I just buried her husband 6 months ago, about when your dad died, or something, 4 months ago? 4 months ago out of Forest Lawn. And so just 4 months later now, her mom was passing away and she looked stronger than I expected, to be honest with you. I got there, her eyes were open, she had oxygen on her and everything. I looked at her, I came up, I held her hand, I said, hi, Betty, do you remember me? And since, do you remember Pastor Eric, right? And she shook her head, yeah. I said, Betty, how are you doing? And she's lying there dying, and I'm saying, how are you doing? What a stupid thing to say, I'm so sorry. You know, it's what you say. And I said, you know that the Lord loved you, don't you, Betty? She got this smile on her face underneath the thing, and I said, Betty, would you like it if we prayed with you? She smiled and said, yeah. And we gathered the family around together. You know, the doctor wanted to come in and stuff. And no, this was the time for prayer right now. This was the time when the family was going to be together in prayer. And at 5 o'clock the next evening, she slipped away into eternity. Tom told me a great story about it. He said, do you mind if I tell this story, Tom? Okay, I'm on a roll now. Don't stop, huh? I wasn't there when Betty passed away. He said she had just passed away, and he said he wanted to turn off his phone so his phone, you know, didn't go off or anything, so he turned off his phone, and as he pulled out his pocket, he just turned it off, and it started playing Spirit in the Sky. He said, he said it was off. He threw it on the bed. He said, now the phone was playing Spirit in the Sky in the whole room. He said, everyone started laughing and crying. They didn't know what to do. He said, and now the phone, here there was, and she just slipped off into heaven, and his phone was playing Spirit in the Sky. And I thought about, you know, God works in such, what a wonderful way just to release in that moment. He said it kind of just broke everything in a way that they could release. And I think for each of us, there's a time where we just have that release to give ourselves fearlessly in joy. All of us have done it at some point. Do you think a few people had fun at the Bruce Springsteen concert last night? Do you think a few people stood on a chair and took off their shirt and shouted and yelled and released and just danced too much? And a few people are sore this morning and hurting, but boy, they're posting on Facebook, 3 hours and 45 minutes. Wow, what a concert. Now imagine if you gave your life and love to Christ Jesus like that, just in total release. Total release. People are doing it right now. Yesterday there was a party for Little Dulce down at Siempre para los Niños. And a group of people came in, and she's 6 years old. Dulce's in preschool because she's so short. They don't even take her into the regular school because she's so short. Poor Dulce, I don't know what's wrong. Something's wrong with Dulce, but she's 6 years old, and she comes up to about here on me, little Dulce. And she's and pretty soon the 3 and 4 year olds are getting taller than Dulce. And yesterday she celebrated her 6th birthday and had a great party for her. And people gave in total release in love. Tonight we're going to the streets of Los Angeles. The guy who I was going to give his birthday present from his mom, he wasn't there 2 weeks ago when I was going to give him his birthday present. And then I didn't take it last week and he was there. And I said, Jay, I can't believe it. I have a birthday present for you from your mom. I was afraid you'd get mad about it. He said, no, Pastor Eric. He said, I'm kind of over it. He said, just whatever. I said, well, Jay, I'll bring it next week. Will you be here? He said, I promise I'll be here next week. He said, that'd be nice. I said, well, you know, I haven't been talking to your mom as much as I should. And he said, go ahead and talk to her. Tell her I'm okay. Tell her I'm okay. You know, it comes because people are just giving release. They're in Mexico. They're on the streets of Los Angeles. People are serving. We have the invitation just to release, to give ourselves fearlessly in joy. Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Don't be afraid, people of Riverside, California. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to come and sit down and have dinner together and talk to each other and get to know each other's names. Don't be afraid. It's impossible, said pride. It's risky, said experience. It's pointless, said reason. Give it a try, whispered the heart. Give it a try. Give it a try. Step into that which God is inviting you. And the fifth positive life opportunity celebration presents is hope. Hope. See, this is just the start of good things. Palm Sunday, well, it's just the beginning. Next Sunday, we're outside for Easter services. And we're going to celebrate the grand resurrection. I'm preaching on the message of yes, that I will say yes. I will serve. I will follow. I will love. I will celebrate. I'll say yes. And when we say yes to the people around us, when we say yes to that which God has called us, it gives hope to people that there's the beginning of good things in life. It says, look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt. You see, for us, this message is taught theologically two ways. They say, well, at the end of a battle, what would happen is the battle would be won, it would be victorious, a city would lie in ruins, and then they would bring in the commanders, and the commanders would ride in victorious. I don't go along in this particular text with that theological perspective. The other one is this, that Jesus, just like he came into the world with his mother riding a donkey into Bethlehem, humble, gentle, rejected, again, took the colt of a donkey and rode into Jerusalem, gentle, meek, and mild. A conqueror, not who was there to kill Caesar, not who was there to throw out the Romans, but one who was there to carry the sacrifices of the world to a cross. One who was there to love and to willingly go to where we couldn't go. For us to have the opportunity to say, I need a little more hope in my life to celebrate. Now maybe you're here this morning and you're so filled with hope that it's overbrimming, it's overflowing, and you don't need one more bit of hope. I don't meet too many people like that. Most of the people I know could use a little bit more hope. And you think, well, how do I know if I need more hope? How are your children doing? Are they following the Lord today? Are you in good relationship with them? How are your grandchildren doing? What about your siblings? How are they doing? What about your parents? And you don't write them off and just say, oh, well, you know what? They are just not that. You say, maybe you're the hope that was put in your home. You're the hope in that home, just like Jesus was the hope for Jerusalem. You're the hope in your home. And when your hope overflows, their hope begins to wake. It sparks something new within them. And when their time of difficulty comes, because in every family will that time of difficulty come more than once, and they will need to know what hope is about, and we have the opportunity to be the ones who live out that role model. We're the ones who we have the opportunity to say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust a sweeter name, but wholly built on Jesus' frame. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. For us this morning to know that Christ Jesus is the only one to build our lives on. He is the only hope that we can have. He is the hope that overflows through our hearts, to our households, to our homes, that we can carry with celebration. Do you need to learn how to celebrate? Untuck that shirt. Do you need to learn how to celebrate a little bit more? I mean, go to a concert. You need to learn how to celebrate a little bit more? Write your name inside the cross joyously. Eat dinner with someone. Get to know that person that you see in church all the time, year after year, decade after decade. And then you get to heaven, you say, you went to Central Community too? I didn't know that I went to Central Community. And Jesus is going to look at you like, what's wrong with you guys? How stupid could you be? I almost didn't let you in because you didn't talk to each other. And what we have the opportunity to do is to be those folks who are bringing hope. Simple prayer at the bottom of your card says, thank you, Jesus, for leading the way into celebration. It's been too long since I fearlessly followed you. I'm sorry. I want my life to be an expression of the very best of your creation and a reflection of your salvation at work within me. Help me lead the celebration. Thanks. I don't know if any of you have ever wanted to be someone who led a celebration, but I'm going to give you a hint on what's going to happen after lunch. We're going to go over there. We're going to eat lunch. They've already got it ready. We're having open-faced turkey sandwiches with gravy over the top of them. I love it. And whatever else Teresa's got going on with that. But then have the cross laid out there where we're going to get to sign it with that shiny special silver tagging pin on the inside of it. But then amongst all of us, you're going to have the opportunity to say, you know, this is what Central Community has meant in my heart, in my home, in my life. And so I'm giving you fair warning now that 25, 30 minutes from now, you're going to have the opportunity to say something and to say, my heart, my life, my home has been changed and my hope renewed because of that which God has done. And then next week when we come in and we drop that mat down and we get to invite people to have that moment of adoration and to have something in it, we'll know that it was written across the stories that we heard together in hope. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these moments of celebration, God. We thank you for letting Jesus come in gloriously with palm branches thrown down in front of him, with creation crying out to celebrate. Lord Jesus, so many of us, we've forgotten how to celebrate. We've forgotten how to connect with each other. We've forgotten how to be the ones who just open our hearts up. And for some of us, it just does not come naturally, God. It's hard for us. Lord Jesus, we want to be the ones who break out of that which is hard for us and to do the hard things, God, to learn to love each other, to learn to find hope enough that can restore hope in the people around us, that can build hope in the homes of our families, of our loved ones, of our friends, that can restore hope to our entire community, God, to Riverside, to Southern California and the greater world around us. This morning we thank you for the little hope that's restored in Dulce, down at Siempre Para Los Niños, and the people who've loved and lifted her up and offered protection. We thank you for the hope in the darkness to Jay on the streets of Los Angeles, as he's thinking maybe he could reconnect with his family. And God, for each one of us, we're asked, Father, that you would restore a hope within us, a hope grand and bold enough that we could celebrate, Father, that it would overflow and that you would move in us. For that one who's here this morning who's heartbroken, for that one who's here who came hopeless, for that one who's here who's got such a depth of heartbreak that they don't know how to ever find restoration, I would ask that you would move, Holy Spirit, as only you can. That you would heal, God, and that in healing, together, the family might begin to become whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.